today on Real Radio.
We live in a world that is very, very materialistic. Look, if we can't feel it, float it, drive it, and fly it, it basically doesn't exist. Well, listen, the Bible says that there's a world far more advanced and far greater in complexity that is invisible than what we can see.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey included preaching the gospel throughout the Gentile world. Their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In the message called How We Grow Up in Christ, we learned that one sign of a Christian is spiritual growth, and the way we grow is by staying in God's Word and by continuing His work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now in chapter 19, verses 8 through 20, we'll discover that there has always been an interest in the supernatural. And today, well, it's no different. The fact is, we are experiencing a rise in the number of people joining cults like never before. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul preaches from the Old Testament to try to persuade crowds to receive Christ. It's only the Bible's supernatural power that can pierce our hearts and discern our thoughts. But many rejected his message and spoke evil of Paul and of Christ. So he withdrew himself and the disciples who were with him. And now in his lesson called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Supernatural things, not only locally but globally, is on the increase. If you haven't noticed, there's a tremendous interest in things concerning the supernatural. I saw a thing in the paper recently, a woman was going to be speaking, and she was going to be talking about messages that she'd received from angels. I was in Arizona not too long ago, and I had seen a display about come and hear and find out what angels have to say. Paul the Apostle says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, to be very careful, because he says, concerning the gospel message that we've given to you, that even if an angel came from heaven and gave a different message, let that angel be Maranatha anathema, which means gone and sent to the deepest of hells. Strong words. But there's an intense interest in the supernatural like never before in at least American history. America is so young. We seem to be catching up in the things of curiosity concerning supernatural things that the world has known about for many millenniums. Very interesting things. Every civilization that's been recorded in human history, as you go through their archaeological finds, display temples or artifacts or practices in the supernatural, be it cultic or occultic, or even godly. You can find these things in every culture. It's built into man to worship. But if that man is not worshiping the things of God, he'll get caught up into other things. The title of the message this morning is The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld. And we're in Acts chapter 19 this morning, continuing in our verse-by-verse study. And we come to verses 8 to 20. So why don't you follow along with me? Acts chapter 19, beginning at verse 8. We're following the life of Paul and his missionary ventures. It says there, and he, that is Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia, the area of Turkey, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Wow. The Bible warns us concerning spiritual activity. You know, it is actually very real. We're going to get into some things this morning that you might have a tendency to say, "Well, I don't believe in that." Well, be careful, because a 1993 poll taken showed that 47% of evangelical Christians did not believe in a real Satan. 47% of those who carry their Bibles to church every Sunday said that there is no real devil, that he's only a symbol of what is evil. You know, that goes exactly against what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, the prophets of old have said that there is a real devil. So it's your opinion based against the Word of God and the very words of Jesus. But the Bible warns us concerning spiritual activity. The Bible tells us, do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That is, don't be involved in a deep interpersonal relationship. Now, can you have a business with a non-believer? Yes, you can. Just make sure you're smart. Just make sure you obey the laws of the land. And I think even with a Christian, you should enter that business transaction in a contractual form. You should have an attorney draw up papers. Why? He's a brother of mine. Listen, that brother of yours can backslide any moment and sue you or rip you off. Trust in the Lord, yes, but enter into agreements carefully with much prayer. But can you be involved with a non-believer? You can, but not in deep interpersonal relationships. That's what it means to be not unequally yoked with them. But the Bible goes on to say, "For what fellowship does righteousness have with rebellion? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what unity does Christ have with Satan? Or what part has a believer with the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I dwell in them, and I walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So the Bible goes on to say, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." We live in a world that is very, very materialistic. Look, if we can't feel it, float it, drive it, and fly it, it basically doesn't exist. Well, listen, the Bible says that there's a world far more advanced and far greater in complexity that is invisible than what we can see. It's interesting to me that, in fact, there's people in this fellowship who are law enforcement officers and work with law enforcement agencies who have created divisions specifically dealing with the occult. Are you aware of that? There are divisions in the law enforcement agencies that deal with ritualistic killings and sacrifices. And maybe you've seen in the paper where in our community, beautiful Chino Hills, sleepy, quiet Chino Hills, they're finding body parts of animals laid out in certain angles. And it just so happens that those angles of various vital organs of a animal body are laid out specifically in accordance with demonic and satanic worship. But the media is trying to tell us that it's a coyote that's doing it. We've got coyotes. I know we've got coyotes. One of them was in our front yard the other day. But listen, the coyotes don't lay out. And besides, coyotes don't worship Satan and lay things out in certain areas. And gee, okay? It doesn't happen like that. There is something going on. And a lot of youth are dabbling in the occult and spiritism. But listen, God is going to triumph. God will always triumph. We're going to be talking about the power of God, the Bible, and the underworld. Look with me in verse 10 for just a moment. Acts 19, verse 10. It says, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. All heard the word of the Lord. When there's opposition, God still puts his word out. He doesn't shy away. Look at verse 17. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. We don't need to be afraid in the day and age in which we live. Acts 19, 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And we're going to find out what that means this morning. But we're talking about the power of God. In verses 8 to 10, if you're taking notes, the first point that we're going to look at in verses 8 to 10 is regarding the things concerning the kingdom. There's four things I want you to see under this first point. Four things. Number one is found in verse 8. It says here, and he, that is Paul, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom or of God. Synonymous, one and the same thing. But the first thing I want you to see is that Paul teaches them the Bible. What is the counter attack against spiritual activity? Is the Bible. You have Bible, you'll be able to discern the things that are contrary in our community or even in your own home. You'll be able to discern that. Paul gives these guys an Old Testament Bible study. Remember, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. He couldn't turn to, you know, the book of Acts and say, now let me tell you something. It was being written. Paul takes them to an Old Testament Bible study and he persuades them. The word reasoning and persuading, reasoning in the Greek means to argue with logic. Listen, Paul the apostle stood up and he reasoned. He gave intense, logical reasons why they should believe in Jesus Christ and receive the things concerning the kingdom. He was able to use the Bible. That second word, persuading, means he convinced them with truth. Are you open to truth this morning? A lot of people don't want to know that. Don't tell me the truth. There's a lot of songs. Don't tell me the truth. Tell me lies. I don't know about you, but when somebody comes up, how do you handle this? Somebody comes up to you and says, well, I got a report, and it's good and it's bad. I got good news and I got bad news. Well, what do you say? How do you handle that? Man, I always drop my hands to the side and I say, give me the bad news first. Just hit me right upside the head, will you? I want the bad news first. Why? Because I want the sound of the good news to be in my ears last. What's the bad news? Well, you know, it's this way. Well, that's not so bad. What's the good news? Well, this happened. All right. You know, you can get excited. Somebody comes up and says, oh, this is the good news. Oh, great. But the bad news is it ain't going to happen. Oh, man. Do you want the truth? He persuades them with the truth concerning the kingdom of God. Listen, the kingdom of God is real. Well, how do you know? Look at the truth. Look at the signs that are around us. The second thing I want you to look at, not only does Paul give them an Old Testament Bible study in verse 8, the second thing I want you to see is that there's a supernatural power concerning the Bible. It reveals the attitudes of hearts and intents and thoughts. He gave them reasons, but verse 9 says, but when some were hardened and did not believe. You know, the Bible has that supernatural power. You know what cracks me up? Take your Bible. Are you going to go to brunch today after church? Take your Bible and try this. Take your Bible with you to brunch. Go to Mimi's over here or wherever, and I don't get kickbacks from these places, but just go somewhere. And the wives are going, honey, take us out. Will you listen to him? Take us out for brunch. Take your Bible, walk in, and set it on the table. And watch how uneasy your waitress is or your waiter. Some people say, is that a Bible? Yeah. They look at it like it's got legs. Watch it now. That looks like a Bible. It is a Bible. Isn't it cool? People freak out. I got a Bible. I should have brought it out here. Maybe second service, if I remember, I'll bring it out. It is huge. It's about 5.5 inches wide. It's about 18 inches tall. It's humongous. And if I would just think about it, someday I'd have that Bible and go, you know, to a restaurant and say, I want deviled ham or something, you know. And just freak them out. People are afraid of the Bible. You open it up, you get on an airplane, try it on an airplane, open up your Bible, you're going to have one of two responses. Number one, people will say, praise the Lord. Mike, remember that one lady? We're on that plane. Mike opens his Bible. This lady goes, praise the Lord. It's great to see somebody reading the Bible. Well, that's a great response. But the other response might be, do you expect something to happen? Is that a Bible? And watch them. You kind of look at, open your Bible and look out the side of your eye, and they'll kind of get antsy. There's power in the Bible. The Bible speaks of itself. It's living and breathing. It can talk to you in the night. Isn't that amazing? You wake up in the morning and it's putting verses into your head. How is it? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would use the Bible. It's supernaturally empowered. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the spirit, that is little s, spirit, your spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Wow, that's scary. But these guys were hardened. You see that word hardened in the Greek? It's the word sclero. No, it's where we get sclerosis. It means to make stubborn, to rub or to scratch until there's a calloused wound, to make callous. Their hearts became callous. You may be sitting here this morning and say, I can't believe I'm even sitting here. I don't want to hear any about this. I don't want to hear nothing of this stuff. Listen, your heart's getting hard, buddy. It's a supernatural event. Just by you sitting here, if you do not open your heart, you will leave this place with the inability to get saved as time goes on. Isn't that serious? The more you hear the Bible and the less you do with it, that results in a hardened heart. Look at the case of Moses and Pharaoh. The more Pharaoh heard and rejected, the more Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But there's dangers to hardening our heart. It's like cement. Cement is easy to play with when it's nice and wet, and the day is still cool. But when the sun comes up and begins to harden it, and it sets up, listen, it is set. And your heart is just like that. You need to be careful. The third thing I want you to see under this section is that some of the people began to speak evil. Their hearts, notice the progression. They heard the word. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't believe. They couldn't believe. Their hearts were hardened. And then they began to speak evil of the Bible and of God and of Jesus. Know anybody like that? Slamming God, putting him down. When I was a little kid growing up, I knew Jesus must have been a real heavyweight because everybody used his name at cussing. They would ask God to damn this and ask God to damn the other thing, and they'd always throw Jesus Christ in there. So I thought he had to be somebody very important. They never used Buddha. It was always Jesus. But a hardened heart begins to put God down. Why is it that around the world, people put down God and Jesus Christ? How do you handle that? What's your explanation for that? Why is it in Israel, where they don't have any cuss words, if somebody wants to cuss, they have to cuss in English? And they put down Jesus Christ. Why is that? Spiritual thing. Supernatural. But they began to speak evil. I want to know, if you're rejecting Christ today, why are you rejecting him? Give me one good reason. Well, my Sunday school teacher ripped me off when I was 5. That is not a reason. Well, those crazy guys on TV always asking for money. Hey, listen, that is not a reason. You think you're upset with them? God is upset with them more. According to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, for since the very creation of God, all of his invisible attributes are clearly seen to the world, being understood by the things that he has made, you are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Well, God, I didn't give my heart to you because I didn't like Calvary Chapel. Jack was weird and ugly and bugged me. And I never came. No, that's not an excuse. Praise the Lord. It's no excuse. But what do you have against him? Why are you running from him anyway, if you are? What reason? It won't stand the test of time, judgment, and the extension of his love. Serious thing. The universal question that will be asked all of us, if you're a believer this morning or not, in the end, the universal question of all time will be, when God leans over his judgment bar and says, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? What did you do with him?" Can you say, "I received him into my heart. He's washed me from my sins. I'm delivered"? Or will you say, "Well, you know, I thought about him a lot, and in fact, I even called him Lord. I was very careful to call him Lord. But did you receive him into your heart?" No. But I was in the ministry. I went to the YMCA. Matthew 7:21 says, Jesus will respond and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you," into everlasting fire. Serious stuff. What did you do with Jesus will be the great question in the end. And the reason why it's such a great question is because God reaches out to love you, which is the gospel, and people push him away. And the fourth thing that I want you to see in this section is that Paul begins to discern the crowd. Look what happens here. They wouldn't believe. They spoke evil of the way before the multitude. So Paul departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Paul looked at the people. They were not willing to listen. So listen, Christians, you need to hear this. They wouldn't listen anymore. So did Paul keep sticking tracts in their lunchbox? Did he put the four spiritual laws between the bologna and the lettuce? No. You know what he did? He did what Jesus said to do. He kicked the dust off his feet and walked away. If they reject repeatedly, let him go. Pray for them. But don't bug him anymore. Don't bug him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio. In a message called The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld. Thanks for listening. You know, it's a serious thing when a person or a city or a nation turns its back on God, but the gospel will win in the end. And the question is, are you on the winning side? The Power of God, the Bible, and the Underworld is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, as we enter the holiday season, a lot of times it brings to mind those who we dearly love and who've gone to heaven before us. And it can also remind us of the sadness and grief we still feel as we have to continue life's journey here without them. That's why we encourage you to pick up a copy of November's Book of the Month. It's called Though I Walk Through the Valley. It's by Vance Havner. Though I Walk Through the Valley chronicles Vance Havner's passage through the darkest valley of his life. Vance Havner is one of America's most quoted preachers, but don't expect time-worn cliches or pat answers. Though I Walk Through the Valley is written from the vantage point of his dying wife's hospital bed. So Vance Havner speaks to those who are suffering as one who's been there. Though I Walk Through the Valley offers sympathy, solace, as well as strength for the journey through his own deepest valley of trials and sorrow. Again, November's Book of the Month is called Though I Walk Through the Valley, and it's written by Vance Havner. You can pick up a copy at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Many of you already know about our website called reallifewithjackhibbs.org, but there's always something new there going on that you might want to know about. Our home tabs will tap you into so many resources, including the Book of the Month, some Bible prophecy, access to past sermons on video, as well as access to previous radio programs from Real Radio. Also, daily devotions available to start your day the right way, with a new devotion added every week. And when you go to that Real Life Home tab, you can click on Pastor Jack's Facebook page and the Know God tab. That's the K-N-O-W God tab. And that gives you a clearer understanding about God, if you're new to the faith or you just want to know God a little bit better. We highly recommend you take advantage of reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.